penalty sacked by Michael Strahan.
I will always remember the Giant fans.
10, 5, touchdown!
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles here on MSG. I'm Bob Papa from the Legacy Club in MetLife Stadium. One of the key components to the Giants' offense over the years has been a strong running game, coupled with outstanding play from the tight end position. From Bob Tucker to Mark Bavaro to Zeke Mowat, in 1989 the Giants were looking to continue that tradition when they drafted Howard Cross out of the University of Alabama.
At tight end from Alabama, number 87, Howard Cross.
Howard, you drafted in 1989 by the Giants. They've got some tight ends that are established on the team. Did you think you had a realistic shot, or you'd get a realistic shot?
You know, it's kind of the ideal situation if you think about it. If you're a young guy coming into the league, I wasn't one of those guys who was like, I'm going to play football for the rest of my life. I'm going to go to the NFL. So I was kind of like, I always liked the opportunity to learn stuff and figure stuff out as you go along. Having Bavaro and Mowat here made it a lot easier for me.
How did those guys help you when you first got here? Did they see you as someone coming to take their job?
Mowat definitely saw me as someone coming to take his job. I think Bavaro was more along the lines, you know, that you watch by example. Both guys were consummate professionals, but Bavaro was a guy that kind of like, if I got too excited, he would come over and go like, hey, look, settle down. Or if I was blocking some guy, and I considered blocking him very well, Bavaro goes, you know, eventually you're going to have to let him go. You know, don't hold him forever. And I thought that was funny. He always had, like, little tidbits here and there.
That team, that 89 team, arguably one of the best teams in the NFL, if not the best team in the NFL. Just for whatever reason, the Rams always seem to be a problem for the Giants.
We played a great, great year that year. We beat a lot of good teams. The defense was playing awesome.
What a defensive stand, and they've done it. Game in, game out.
On the offensive side of the ball with Sims.
Sims is going to pass the ball if he's given a chance. He's throwing deep. It is complete at the 10-yard line. Howard Cross.
Otis Anderson, you know, running the ball, all of a sudden he's thrust into the starting role. He gets his 10,000 yards, rushes for 1,000 yards that season. The offensive line, I remember watching these guys really get after guys and maul them all year long. I'm like, I can't believe this. This is like one of those things where you step into the perfect situation. It looked like we were going to go to the Super Bowl. I remember the Rams being a pesky team and no one really liked them. And then all of a sudden you play them and I'm like, we got them. Like, it's over. We got them. And all of a sudden, they got one more chance. And next thing you know, Flipper Anderson runs through the tunnel. And it's like one of the moments you'll remember forever.
The 90s season starts off, and you guys rip off 10 in a row. 10-0 to start the season. Phil Sims had been the Super Bowl MVP in 86. You're now in your second year. What was it like playing with a guy that you probably saw on TV win the Super Bowl MVP, and now he's throwing passes to you?
He was the first guy in, last guy out. He worked out all the time. He was another guy who kind of helped build our workout regimen, because to see a guy actually working harder than anyone else in the weight room and seeing him showing up early, leaving late, that kind of gave us the way to work and kind of was the blueprint of what we were supposed to do.
But in week 15 against the Buffalo Bills, Phil Sims would suffer a season-ending injury.
Sims is down and getting up slowly.
When Phil goes down against Buffalo on that rainy day, Hostetler's got to come in. What was your thought on Hostetler?
I knew that he was a talented guy. I knew he was one of those guys that ran around a lot. You know, he runs around. He makes a lot of plays, extending plays, not a quote-unquote pure pocket passer, rollout guy. He had a lot of abilities like that. You saw it in practice. It was a plus and minus, if you think about it, from our perspective or from my perspective. I'm looking at a guy that can do almost anything, but I don't know what he's actually going to do.
Hostetler would lead the Giants to the NFC Championship game to face the two-time defending Super Bowl champion San Francisco 49ers. It was an epic battle filled with hard hits and big surprises.
You know, two things come to mind right off the bat is the fake punt, because I was on the field when the play was called. I didn't get the fake punt call. So when Gary Reasons is running down the field, I'm thinking he just blew the game for us. That's going to be a penalty. And I'm like, why would he run before they punted the ball? And it wasn't until they were tackling that I realized. But I'm like, man, he's got the ball. That's awesome. I'm like running behind, like, where are you going? Screaming at him. It was pretty embarrassing. But that actually happens in football games.
With 2 minutes and 40 seconds left, the 49ers had a 13-12 lead and were trying to run out the clock. But the Giants had one last trick up their sleeve.
What are you thinking as the Niners are trying to run out the clock?
It's not one of those games where you think you're losing. You think that we still have a shot.
The shocking turnover gave the Giants the ball in great field position and set the stage for Matt Barr to play the role of hero.
Was there any doubt when Matt Barr came out that he was going to make the kick?
You know, you didn't have any doubt that this guy, because he was psycho, that he was going to knock it through the uprights.
Kick is away. It's got the distance. It is good. Good.
And the Giants are going to Tampa Bay. It's over for the three-peats. It's over.
It was a great moment for him.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Howard Cross. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Howard Cross.
You were instrumental in the Super Bowl in a lot of different ways, not only receiving but blocking, and you made some big plays for the Giants in that game. What was it like as you started to wear them down and the way the offense, just the end of the first half, that famous third quarter drive, did you feel like you were sucking the life out of the Bills?
You know, it's one of those things you think back to, like, the days of college, you know, when plays worked, you just ran them over and over again. And that's kind of what was going on in that third quarter. We were running off tackle right, off tackle left, off tackle right, off tackle left. Dive, 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 and if we want to mix it up, we'd call a bootleg or something to the backside, and they just couldn't get it going, and you know, those guys were pass rush specialists. They wanted to rush the passer, and if you're not rushing, if you're not passing the ball, their efforts are wasted wrestling guys. And that every time you wrestle to get to the running back to get him down, and Otis is just running hard, it took a lot of energy to stay in there.
Talk about the game plan that Ron Earhart, your offensive coordinator, put together that day.
We definitely went into the game thinking that they were a pass rush group. But when they were in games that they have to, like, defend the run for the entire game, it was tough on them. And they couldn't continue to defend the run, and they would start to overcommit to try to get themselves off the field or to cause you to be in a passing situation. So when we started to run, you know, we sweep right or sweep left, and all of a sudden everybody's flowing that way, the entire team would leave, and I would just trickle out to the backside and catch a ball. If there was a definite passing down, we would run a screen, and it worked to perfection because they were so far up the field. When Megan caught the ball out in the flat, it was like one or two guys out there, and the linemen were in front, knocking guys down. And we only had a couple, two or three standard pass patterns, and Baker caught a nice corner route going into the end zone. It's like a standard play that we were running. It wasn't anything that we're trying to trick them or fool them or hide anything. It was like, we're going to fight you. We're going to do it basic. We're not going to do anything special. Our guys are going to be better than your guys, and you're going to have to beat us.
Tell me about the Mark Ingram play, one of the great plays in Super Bowl history.
Ingram catches the ball. He's definitely short. He's short by maybe 4 or 5, maybe even 8 yards, and he has to break some tackles. After he spins off the first guy, the second guy comes over. And they kept thinking they were going to knock him off his feet. And every time someone would hit him, they're not really wrapping him up and trying to take him to the ground. They're trying to just blow him up a little bit, and they're bringing their arms late. But when you do that, if a guy's got good balance and he's fighting to go forward, you can't get him down. He showed a lot of determination, a lot of grit. He knew where the first down marker was. And these guys were laying down. It's like it was like a video game. Every time he hit a guy, he'd go down. Hit another guy, he'd go down. And all of a sudden, he falls across the first down marker. And we're all on the sideline going nuts. And it's just a great moment to see.
Cross had 4 receptions for 39 yards in Super Bowl 25, each one giving the Giants a much-needed first down. His third quarter catch set up Otis Anderson's 1-yard touchdown run, which gave the Giants a 17-12 lead. But the game would be decided in the final seconds in dramatic fashion.
Where are you when he lines up for the kick? What are you thinking as it's unfolding?
Well, as I'm sitting on the sideline, I'm asking and trying to figure out, is he outside of 40 yards? I'm really like, well, I know what the report said. If he's outside of 40, he's not going to make it. So you're trying to get to a position where you can see the kick. And when he kicks the ball, and I'm like, was he outside of 40? The ball's going, it's going, and you're looking, you're like, oh, my God, it goes outside. We all jump, we're going crazy. He got pretty close. It was kind of crazy. I just remember jumping up and down and laughing and thinking, man, this is, I can't believe we won a Super Bowl. It almost felt like the world paused for a minute just to watch a game. And then to jump and be excited during that moment and of winning that game, it was a pretty big moment.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Howard Cross. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Howard Cross.
You win the Super Bowl. You're the toast of the town, Giants. And then Parcells leaves.
Yeah, that was interesting. Parcells, you know, makes an announcement, hand selects his coach, and walks out the door. Seeing Ray Hanley show up, it was interesting because, you know, Ray was like the mathematician of the team. Coach Parcells would read off a bunch of plays and numbers and whatever, and Ray would, like, give an answer. It was almost like it was practiced. He would answer it so fast. And that's how we thought him. We thought him was this really smart guy. He was kind of like the nuts and bolts guy in the back.
93, Dan Reeves comes in. You're getting used more in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
And Sims seems to like throwing to you.
Sims throws end zone! Touchdown, Cross!
Did you feel like you were finally being recognized for more than just a young guy who could block and that Reeves wanted to kind of give you an opportunity to get you more involved in the passing game and the rapport you had with Sims?
You know, I like Sims a lot. Sims liked using his tight end. He had a great rapport with Bavaro. He had a great rapport with Moat, and I just kind of fit into the next guy in line. It was an easy eye for him. It's close to him. It made it easy for him to find. But, you know, throughout my career, would love to say I was a great receiver, would love to say I was a go-to guy or something like that. I just did what I was asked to do. And if they asked me to catch a ball, I'd do my very best to catch it when they were throwing it to me. If they asked me to block a guy, I'd do my very best to block him. I mean, you excel at it when you get your chances to do it, and when you didn't get your chance to do it, you just didn't do it.
97, you win the division, 10-5-1. What was it like to win again after that big drought for you?
It was a good time because, you know, Coach Fossil comes in, I'm still in the mix. I'm still doing a great job. As an offense, we were a dominant running team. We're rushing for over 200 yards a game. You're rushing for over 200 yards a game. The other teams can't stay with you. They can't defend themselves against you. They're beat up and tired before the game ends.
Powered by their dominant rushing attack, the Giants finished with a 10-5-1 record and advanced to the playoffs. But a heartbreaking last-second loss to the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC wildcard game ended their season. In 1998, the Giants posted an 8-8 record and missed the playoffs, but they would salvage their season in Week 15 when they faced off against the undefeated defending Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos.
All right, so the 98 season is not great, but the Broncos are undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Cram throws that pass to Amani Toomer. You knock off the Broncos, who are, you know, Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
They're undefeated.
They had played 13 games. They had won a lot of games. They were looking to go for the big thing. And anybody will tell you, once you've won a lot of games, can you go 16-0, 17-0, 18-0? That becomes like, that's all anybody ever asks about. So they come here, you know, they're battling a team that's struggling. To be polite, we were struggling. And we were the afterthought. So we get in and we're going to run the ball. We're going to play hard. We're going to do all the stuff that we're supposed to do. And they just weren't, they couldn't get themselves up to do it. They couldn't find a way to infuse enough energy into their game to come back. Every play that we blocked them, we had them beat. They were like, you know, running backs were getting by them. Receivers were getting open. We just had them beat. You could see it in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They made one final little push and it just wasn't enough and we win. They're like, hey, congratulations, that made your season. And, yeah, it did. You know, that was the highlight of our season, beating an undefeated team, the Super Bowl champs.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, Howard Cross. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, Howard Cross. After going 7-9 in 1999, the Giants entered 2000 with a renewed sense of urgency and determination.
Good offense in 2000, but you get to the shaky part of the season. Mm-hmm. What are the guys in the locker room thinking when Fossil said he was pushing all his chips to the middle of the table?
I'm raising the stakes right now. This is a poker game. I'm shoving my chips to the middle of the table. I'm raising the ante. Anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, can get out. Okay? This team is going to the playoffs.
Coach Fossil always tried to come up with some kind of catchphrase or something like that, and to say he's betting it all in. That's the phrase that the media stuck with. What he basically was saying, and he said in the meeting, was that, you know, hey, I'm going down. I'm going to give everything I got. And just remember, you're on film. So if you're not giving your best effort, they're looking at you too. So you got to be like me. Give it all. I'm pushing all my chips to the center of the table. I'm betting all of it right now.
So now you get into the postseason.
The towels are waving. The fans are fired up. 60 minutes from the Super Bowl. Will it be the Vikings or the New York Giants?
Guy has the game for the ages. The greatest game in the history of Giants Stadium, most likely.
Collins back, steps up over the middle, and he's got a man. It's Mr. Hilliard to the far, touchdown! 46 yards down the left side. I want to be like that. He's got six.
And what a perfect thrown pass by Collins.
He said that we'll score 100 points against him. We're going to score almost every time we touch the ball. So get ready. You're going to be tired. We're going to run it up on
them. Throwing down the right side. It's got Camilla. Touchdown!
Crowd is sensing blood in the water.
Before Minnesota's offense has ever stepped on the field, the Giants have 13 points.
In the moment that we scored the first touchdown, and they got stopped, and then we scored another touchdown, it could have literally been 100-0 if we had tried. If you were worth your salt and you were watching tape on them and you saw that going on, there's just no way that you couldn't just go after them.
Lobbed it back corner of the end zone for Schumer. He's got a touchdown! He just outworked the defensive back.
I mean, he was right on target.
Oh, what a play by Collins!
He's having a superb game. Collins' fifth touchdown.
A new Giants record.
Yes.
Boy, for an NFC title game, you would never have expected this in a million years.
The Vikings on the near side, glancing up at the scoreboard. A bit shocked, a bit dazed.
It was bad, and we exposed them.
Scover approaches the football. We are underway. The flashbulb sparkled with a high climbing kick. Dixon will range back to his own three. Dixon to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Rod Dixon's going to go. No one's going to catch him.
1990. Tampa. 2000, Tampa. You're the only guy left from the 90 team. What did it mean to you to go back?
It meant more than anything. Catching one of Carey's first passes, you know, that's the first time someone had gone that long between catches in the Super Bowl, 10 years. It was all like, this is great. I'm out there on one leg hobbling around. My knee was as big as someone's head. I was like, let's get this done. We're going to do this. And I went there thinking that we're going to run the ball. 35 times, Carey was barely going to throw it, and we were going to run over the Baltimore Ravens.
But in Super Bowl 35, the Giants would fall short, losing to the Baltimore Ravens 34-7.
Even though you had lost the Super Bowl, how much easier did it make it retiring knowing that you had won a Super Bowl?
It was. You had really completed my career. You know, the only thing I feel bad is that I never got to the Pro Bowl as a player. You always want to be feel like you're at the height of your game. Another thing that kind of helped usher me out, we were having a conversation, a few of the players and I, and we were talking about incentives to play. And the question became, you know, what's the biggest incentive to play? To be the highest paid player or to be the best player? And I was listening to guys saying, like, yeah, you want to be the highest paid player. I'm like, I actually just wanted to be the best player. If I wanted to be the highest paid player, I would have left the team and went somewhere else to make money.
What does it mean to have played your entire career with one organization?
It means that above dollars and cents, above fame and whatever else that goes along with it, that loyalty means probably the most to me. Two great families on the team, and they never forget you. They're always shaking your hand, how you doing, how's your wife, how's your kids. When an organization means that much to you, you make a commitment to them and you want to go the extra yard for them. That's why once a Giant, always a Giant. You have guys who leave and go to other teams. When they come back, they want to retire Giants because it's, in my mind, a class of the NFL.
When you think about Howard Cross's career with the New York Giants, you think of several things. You think of a guy who was always there and answered the bell, and somebody who gave back to the community. A selfless player who served many roles for the Giants in his time with the Big Blue, a champion early in his career, and a veteran who helped the Giants win another NFC championship. Howard Cross, a true Giants legend. That wraps it up from the Legacy Club in MetLife Stadium. I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us here on Giants Chronicles on MSG.